Turn in your Bibles to the 2 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 4. I've heard this statement before, but to be real honest with you, I've learned it more and more and more as I go along in this life of mine, this path that God has put me on. The statement is, if we are coming out of one trial, it's most assuredly that we are about to go through another. That's what God's people do. We come out of one trial and we go into another. One thing right after another, whether it be our own trials from within or even trials from without. And in today's world of cancer, that sure is true for a lot of people, isn't it? It's very true in my case. Now, don't take me wrong. I'm not complaining about it. I know these trials are for my own good. I know that my Lord says He will never forsake me. I know that He will get me through it all. But man, I got to tell you, this path can be very bumpy. One of the many blessings that we find knowing the truths of Christ is the peace through these truths. The peace of leaning on the everlasting arms. I can't even remember what it was I used to lean on before the Lord called me out of darkness. I know whatever it was, it has nowhere near the strength that my Lord and Savior has. It doesn't even come close to the promises that my God has made me. But not just those promises that He made, but the fact that He can perfectly fulfill every one of those promises no matter what. No matter what even I do. One of the many blessings that we find knowing the truths of Christ is the peace and the truths that bring to our hearts. Especially when the road is rough or bumpy, maybe even uphill. Does the sea swell up? Do the waves crash against the side of your little boat? Is your boat like mine at times filling up with what goes on around us? The sorrow that goes through a man's heart when they see the foolishness of what the leaders of their country are going through and doing. Is that not the same as the storms that we face in other directions also? I love this country, folks. I love what God has given us. He's given us a country, a people, a nation to be with, greater than any other nation has ever been before. And to see the things that we are doing to ourselves now burdens my heart greatly. I can't even watch news anymore. I've shared that with you. What little bit I do hear what we do to children, it makes me want to scream out like the apostles and the disciples did on that boat that day when the storm came up about them. Lord! Lord, wake up! Don't you care if we die? Oh, John of little faith. As we grow in the knowledge of this one who is called Jesus, as God is pleased to reveal through the preaching of His Word what His Son accomplished at Calvary just over 2,000 years ago, the more we see the truths of where our Savior is now, sitting on His throne, ruling everything, you know, nothing's out of control. I know it seems like that to us. I know we can feel like that, whether it be the leaders of the country or our job maybe, or maybe even our relationship with our family, our loved ones. Trials can come at you in all kinds of different directions, but nothing, absolutely nothing, is out of control. I mentioned on Friday night, a brother called me up and he said, "John, look, I'm sorry, I can't be there for Friday night Bible study." And I was, whoa, stop. You're saying sorry to the wrong person. You do not have to be sorry to me for anything. "Oh, but I know, John, you know, I don't want you to be frustrated because somebody may not, you know, some of us may not be showing up." Folks, you're exactly where God wants you to be every moment of every time. If he wanted you a Bible study, you would be there. Jonah was exactly where he was supposed to be, running from the Lord. What an example the Lord gives us in that very story. Exactly going on according to God's will. His purpose shall not be turned. His will cannot be thwarted. And that comes to salvation especially. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." We can count on that.
Yes, amen.
Our Lord has said it, and because he is the creator of all things, God Almighty in the flesh, it shall come to pass. The more we see the truths of who our Savior is and where he is right now, he's sitting on his throne. Not standing by, not doing off over here or watching something. "Oh, what are they doing down there on earth?" That's not what our Lord is doing at all. He knows exactly what's going on. And it's going exactly according to the way he wants it.
Yes.
And how he's making intercession for his beloved people. The more we come to count on the promises, the more we know about our Lord and Savior, the more we can come to count on the very promises. Like this, for instance, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." That's what our God tells his people. Is he saying that to your heart? Do you see that in your heart? Peter saw that when the Lord called him and filled up his boat with fish. And he fell at the knees of Jesus and he said, "Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinner." "I shall never leave you nor forsake you." Now I know some of you don't feel that all the time. David gave us a very example of that just before he said in Psalms 23, let's turn there so I get the exact wording right. "The Lord is my shepherd." Just before he said that, before he wrote down, "I shall not want," what did he write? "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" His apostles. "Lord, why do you sleep? Do you not worry? Do you not care that we're about to die?" Our Lord says, "I shall never leave you nor forsake you." Or what about this one? He says, "You shall be my people, and I will be your God." Not many take that as a promise, but that is. The very fact that he says "shall" means that it will happen. There's no doubt about it. It will happen. There will be no empty seats in heaven. All of God's people will come to him. "You shall be my people, and I will." Not maybe, I might. Not if you let me. Not if you do something to let me do this or do something to help me do that. He says, "I will be your God." And here's one that just, I love this one. "There is therefore now no condemnation No charge. We're as white as snow. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A promise that we can count on. Just as the people of Israel walked out and they put blood on the post of their house so that the angel of death would pass by. The blood of our Lord and Savior is put on the post of our heart, on the door of our heart, by Him. And the angel of death passes us by. What a blessing, what a wonderful promise the Lord has given us there, huh? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What peace a child of God receives when the Lord moves in. And with the world that we live in, this is a peace that we need not just once. I've mentioned this before. When I first started coming here, I had to go to Pastor Gene and Steve Doyle and say, I don't understand what's going on in my life. Why do I have to keep coming back every Sunday and hearing about this one called Jesus? It's because I'm living in a world of sin and degradation, and where the world is going to be end up going and burning up. It's cursed. The very ground that we walk on is cursed to be burned up in the end. And the more you know that, the more you see His mercy and grace for His people. Because that's what we deserve. It's not a blessing to see the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior once and then walk away. It's a blessing that I need every day. Every moment. So that when I do walk out of these doors and I go out into that world that's cursed, and I see the degradation in it, and I see what the leaders do and what the people do, I can remember my Lord's mercy for me. Because I'd be right there with them in the very same camp. If it was left to me, I wouldn't be here this morning. I'd be playing golf or riding the Harley. But I thank God that things aren't left to me. My God works them things out all for Himself and for His glory. But as long as this flesh remains, I shall have tribulation in my life. This is why we see His mercies fresh day by day. The title for my message this morning is Renewed. Renewed. Renewing my blessed Lord's mercies to me day by day. Are you with me in 2 Corinthians? If you join me in reading verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. As we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. Amen. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now I know we read quite a bit of scripture there, and I see at least a dozen different messages in this very text. But I'm going to keep, hopefully, to just one point made. And I pray that it brings comfort to the people of God. So allow me to take us through verses 7 through 16. And let's just make a few comments as we go along. In verse 7 it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What a treasure. I was just mentioning just a moment ago about how we know what we deserve. We know what we are, sinners saved by grace. Our Lord has shown us there is nothing in the flesh, nothing that we can present to him that would be worth of anything. We also know that by his mercy and grace, sending his son to be a servant, sending the Son of God, the creator of everything, to be our sacrifice, our substitute, our merciful Savior. Oh, what treasure that is. I have heard our brother Mike say so many times, it's a precious and very tender, very fragile. It's like perfect glass. You want to hold it with both hands. Hang on to it. Hold it close so that we don't drop it. This knowledge of who the Lord Jesus Christ is so precious that it means everything. Everything else is cursed. All the world that we see, the beautiful mountains, the snow, the beautiful ocean. I love going to the ocean. What a beautiful creation our God has given us there. But it's all going to burn up. And there'll be things that we can't even imagine that are even greater than that in the future to come. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Remember back in verse of this very chapter, Paul declares that we preach Christ and him crucified. This is the treasure. This is the gospel to lost sinners. When the Lord has shown your heart, the sinner that you are. When the Lord has made you to sit at his table with other sinners, it becomes the good news. Because he didn't leave you as all other sinners. He didn't leave you to your own will. He moved upon the heart, giving you a new heart. This is the good news for a lost sinner. Matthew Henry wrote this. He says, the gospel of Christ is called a treasure in that it contains rich truths. It has rich blessings such as redemption. We are redeemed to God. Christ redeemed us with his own precious blood. He paid the price. When we were yet separated from God, we are now brought back to him because of what Christ has done. What a rich treasure that is. A treasure of sanctification. He has set us apart from the world. The world that we walked through and that we were part of. In Christ we are set apart. What a treasure. What about the treasure of justification? By his substitutionary death, justice was paid. What we deserved, justice was laid upon him. And therefore we are justified in him. This rich and precious promises, it shows forth the riches of God's grace and his mercy in his Son, the Lord Jesus. This treasure is in earthen vessels, and meaning that the ministers to whom God entrusts this gospel and through whom he sends to speak, to preach to gospel sinners, to preach the gospel to sinners, God's ministers are weak and frail creatures, subject to like passions and infirmities as all other men are. But God makes the most unlikely. He makes them his instruments of grace that he might have all the glory. The weaker vessel, the stronger his power appears to be. Whatever is accomplished in the proclamation of the gospel by frail men is the work of God and not of men. That he, our Savior, not us, not they, that he might be praised and glorified. Verses 8 and 9 we can relate to, for we too are troubled all around. We are troubled on every side, it says, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We are troubled, yes, and we are oppressed in every single way. No, we don't suffer the persecution as some Christians do. They're not banging on our doors, but they're blowing up churches around the world, folks. How long will it be till we have to be worried about who walks through that door here? Never mind. You see, we are never free from one trial or another. We are in the world and expecting to have tribulations. Yet we are not distressed, for we have peace, the peace of God, the manifestations of his love, and the care and the freedom to be to the throne of sufficient, that is sufficient for every trial. We are perplexed, yes. The word signifies doubting and uncertainty. Who can say why men would do such things to a child? Who can say why a people would decide to murder a child? That's perplexion. Why? I can't tell you why. Why did my dad die of cancer? Why did my sister die of this? Why did my brother, my daughter, my son? That's perplexion, but we know this. That our Lord works all things out. We trust in this, that he who rules, rules it all. That's our peace. Knowing what I know now, I think I would go crazy if I didn't have that kind of peace with my Lord and Savior. I could imagine the foolishness that John before would be doing today in today's world with all the foolishness that's going on with them. I'm not trying to say I'm smarter. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that knowing who it is that's working all things out is probably what keeps me sane enough to go and continue on in this world that I'm walking through. We are often uncertain and in doubt about what will happen to us. And sometimes we know not what to do, which way to take, or how our needs shall be supplied. But we are not in despair. We do not despair of the leadership or the help or the presence of our in support of our Lord and Savior. Neither are we forsaken by those who love Christ, for they support us in prayer and provisions. I ask for your prayer, for surely I know that many of you will, as the Lord leads us. We pray for our pastor, Gene and Judy, for their safety in traveling, for their health. We pray for our unsaved loved ones. Pray for our missionaries. We pray Friday night Bible study, folks, for those of you who'd like to know. We come together in prayer for about a half hour before we go to the Word of God, and we list off. We list off the people that we want to pray for this week. Most of us write those names down and the reasons why, and we take them home with us and try to, as the Lord leads us, to pray for those same things. We are not forsaken by those who love Christ, for they support us in prayer and in provisions. We are cast down like an earthen vessel is sometimes cast out or thrown to the earth, seemingly forgotten and deserted, but we are never destroyed. We live by the mighty power of God and are immortal until His work in us, through us, and by us is done. Whatever the condition of God's children in this world might be, we have a but not. Never heard of that before, have you? I didn't either until I was reading Henry Mann. We have a but not. Did you know that? I'm going to get that and put it on a little sign, but not or something, put it on the outside of the door. We have a but not that comforts us. You see, our case may be really bad. What it is we're going through may seem extremely terrible. But it's not hopeless. We have a hope. Our loved ones may die, and we mourn. But we don't mourn without hope. We have a wonderful hope that the Lord Jesus Christ is intervening for us. Our case may be bad, but it's not hopeless, for He is our hope. In verses 10 and 11, we read, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Henry Mahan writes this, he says, Paul is speaking here of the sufferings and the afflictions of the disciples, the afflictions that they themselves endured in the flesh. And we are open to that very same hatred, suffering, and putting to death that our Lord suffered. For we are one with Him, and the world which hates Him hates us also. We don't expect any better treatment that was afforded our Lord, do we? There is one great consolation, though, that because He lives, we shall live also. The power of our Lord's grace, the strength, the comfort, and the peace is in us daily, manifested to us, to the church, and to the world. The apostles and the ministers of the gospel seem to be a special target for Satan's hatred and the world's enmity, but even these trials God uses to call out His sheep. How often have we heard Pastor Gene talk about his son and how the Lord has used that very situation to strengthen him and give him the grace to deal with the people that have come before him. I saw the love that he was able to share with my brother when my brother lost his son. The comfort that Gene and Judy gave Lee and Shirley. Even the trials that we go through, God uses to call out His sheep. Verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Paul states here that our death is your life. Our sufferings are for your advantage. The gospel we preach at the expense of persecution, trial, and even death is the means by bringing the gospel of life unto you. Verse 13, it says, we have the same spirit and faith according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. Verse 14, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. We are assured that our great God who raised our Lord and Savior from the grave at the first as the first fruits of them who sleep shall by the same power flowing from himself who sits at the right hand of also raise our will also raise our mortal bodies from the grave. We are assured of this, for he has promised it so. We know that Christ was raised, and his resurrection is an assurance to us. It's an assurance to our resurrection. We shall meet in that resurrection and shall by Christ be presented unto God, redeemed by his life and washed in his blood. Verse 15, for all things are for our sakes, for your sakes, that the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man may perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Yes. Now these exhortations were written for the men of the church at Corinth. These men who were responsible for preaching to the congregation. But these exhortations apply to all of God's elect. Each and every one of us have to go through our own trials, whether we're being persecuted because of what we believe or whether we're being persecuted for anything else. Christ is our all in all.
Yes. Amen.
If he's not your all in all, then he's not Lord at all. He either moves in and takes over, or you're left to yourself. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that he moves in and takes over? His mercies are renewed every day. We see his love for us and we recall the very promises that he has given to his elect. Turn over to Luke chapter 11 and I'll bring this to a close right now. I'm getting there. One moment. Oh, okay. I got it. Verse 2. And he said unto them, speaking unto his disciples, right after in verse 1 where it said, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he, our Lord, said, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Now here's what I wanted to bring you here to see. I never noticed this until this morning. Give us day by day our daily bread. My subject this morning is renewed day by day. Lord, give us your Son. Help us to see your Son in all of our walk through this life. Because we can't look on our own. We don't have the strength. In fact, here's the great thing about it. In our weakness, he is made strong. In our weakness, we see the strength of our Savior for us. Give us this day our daily bread, that manna from heaven, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every day we need to eat. Every day we need our spiritual food from heaven. And we know what that food is, don't we? Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Manna from heaven. Every day I get out of bed, I must lean against something till my balance wakes up with my mind. What do you lean upon? I tell you this morning, there's a rock. A rock that will never move. And you can lean upon it with your full weight. That rock is the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, my Lord. Would you stand with me, please, and turn to page 202, and let's sing.